You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Last year, Amazon's Prime Day, you ready for this?
Yeah.
Garnered $11.19 billion in sales.
Wow.
Isn't that insane?
That's a big day.
Oh, my gosh.
You consider that Amazon is kind of like its own world economy at this point, right? I mean, like, I look at Amazon, their financials have got to be the same, you know what, even larger than some small countries that are out there on the planet.
That is mind-blowing amounts of money. When I order things off Amazon, which I do frequently, it's always small things, like a book that my older daughter needs for school, or like a new pair of Crocs for my little one, sale for $17 or whatever, you know?
Lotion, something random, right?
Exactly.
Something small, right?
Today is day two of Prime Day. It ends today. Have you bought anything yet, Raven?
You know, I used to wait for this every year, and I would buy a lot of electronics. And when I was putting like the Ring alarm system and cameras on my house or whatever, I loved Prime Day. But I'm looking through it this year, and I'm not really sure that I have anything that I need. So the thing that's going to grab me is the highest percentage that's off, right? If I see something that's 40% off or more, I'm like, oh, well, maybe that's something I should buy just because it's a good investment.
I've gotten to the point that when I look at these deals, to me, they don't seem like deals. It's like the whole thing like behind Black Friday. Like Black Friday doesn't seem real anymore. It seems like another way just for them to make more money and disguising it as a sale, when the truth of the matter is that you're not really saving all that much.
It's the old going out of business adage, right?
Yeah.
Put up the sign that says you're going out of business, you know, yellow sign, big letters on it. People come running in because they think they're making out, but they're not making out. Stores in my neighborhood, they've been going out of business for 5 years,
if not longer,
right?
There's an Oriental furniture store down the street from me that has had the sign in the front saying they're going out of business. It's got to be 15 years now.
That's the name of the business, if you didn't know,
right? The one thing I did buy was a umbrella hat. It's a hat that goes on your head that looks like an umbrella. I don't need it for any reason.
I wouldn't think so.
But the reviews were so hilarious that I felt obligated. Like, I felt like if anybody should buy this umbrella hat, it should be me.
Give me a highlight review. Something that would rope me in.
The first review. Perfect when I want to look insane. Pairs well with a full face and shoulders shroud to obscure the features for those bright and sunny days when you must walk along the humans.
What?
Uh-huh. Great for other purposes. You can wear this absurdity, but this is perfect for shading my hummingbird feeders. With very few modifications and zip ties, nectar and feeder stays cool even in 90-degree sunlight.
Wait a minute. These people are putting hats on the feeders in their yard.
I mean, it's incredible. Goofy-looking hat, but man, does it work. Reflects the heat, super lightweight, folds up like an umbrella. So it'll be here soon, and then we can take turns wearing it around the studio.
Does it come in blue?
It does.
Goose Baba. It's Wellness Wednesday.
Don't freak out.
With Anna and Raven.
When's the last time you had a nightmare? Like a real bad nightmare? I had one the other day.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I don't know, because I don't have many of them. I dream every night.
No, usually what really classifies, everybody dreams every single night. That's just science. But the dreams that you have when they're fine and vanilla, you can forget them and you won't remember them when you wake up. But nightmares will wake you up out of a deep sleep. And
sure,
there's four things that can cause nightmares.
Okay, I am excited to find out about these horrific things.
Well, I mean, the first one, I guess, isn't a giant shock, but alcohol, recreational drugs, medication, and supplements.
Now, wait a minute. So those will cause nightmares?
Yeah, they'll cause nightmares. Alcohol. You're not supposed to have alcohol.
Okay, Nancy Reagan. I'm not sure I'm buying that.
No,
when
that's
I go
thing
out drinking, I come home and I sleep and I fall asleep.
Well, that's the problem is that you don't have a good sleep. So you go in and out of like that deep REM sleep, and that's where the nightmares happen. And you're not supposed to have alcohol 4 hours before bed.
Have you ever had a Jaeger bomb? You are going to bed and you are not waking up.
Okay.
There's not going to be any turning or tossing.
You know what else they say falls under supplements?
Okay.
Melatonin. So a lot of people take melatonin to go to sleep.
Right.
But it causes nightmares. So it's like a double-edged sword. Like, you get to go to sleep, but then you have terrible nightmares, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Seems like you wouldn't put that on the tagline for selling the vitamin.
Second thing that caused nightmares, eating before bed. So they did a study, and they found this.
So what of the candy and junk food, ice cream and brownies, cakes and pies? About 70% of the participants that were fed junk food a half hour before bed had nightmares. Don't want nightmares. Let your body do most of its digesting before you go to sleep.
And well, they found that.
Don't have a candy bar before you lay down.
But right. But there's certain things like carbs, too. Like if you have like a piece of toast or something like that, you're not supposed to have carbs, sugar, anything spicy. All those will cause nightmares. And if they're saying if you do need to eat before bed, it should be chicken, turkey, or nuts, which sounds terrible, and nobody wants that at bedtime.
I'm not buying any of this so far. They better say something to redeem this study.
Well, they also say that anxiety and stress causes nightmares.
Well, that would make a lot more sense. Right.
Yeah. But the one that really got me, like the thing that causes nightmares the most, and I thought this was fascinating, is sleeping on your back. Now, if you sleep on your back, there's a couple reasons why it causes nightmares. One, you probably have breathing difficulties because of it.
Mm.
So, like, that can be a big issue. Sleep apnea.
But if you're drowning, right, or suffocating in your sleep, right?
But you know what
else? The nightmare is almost a good wake-up call for you.
But sleeping on your back causes sleep paralysis, too. Now, if you're not familiar with sleep paralysis, here's the internet lady explaining it.
Oh, great.
Imagine you are just about to fall asleep when all of a sudden you feel a pressure on your chest and you sense a presence in the room. You cannot move a muscle, but you can see your surroundings and are awake and alert. This is sleep paralysis.
Have you ever been in sleep paralysis?
No, that's terrifying.
It happens. It is. It happens 8% of the population, and it's inherited. Like, you get it like from your family. If your family had it, you get it. It happened to me once.
Yeah.
And it is the most terrifying feeling. You are 100% awake, and you can't control your body to wake itself up.
Did you have any Jaeger bombs before that?
I did not have any Jaeger bombs.
I'm for science sake, I'm just trying to make sure.
I just want you to know, in my nightmare, the Russians were trying to use me as a mule. That was a real dream that I had this past week.
Woke up cold sweat. Shake your husband awake and make sure he didn't have an accent.
They wouldn't let us leave our vacation unless I agreed to be a mule for the Russians. And it was the most terrifying dream I think I've ever had in my entire life.
Well, say hello to Brittany Griner's life right now.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 That thing that drives you crazy. This is your chance to just get it all off your chest, vent it all out. 1-800-330-9999. You just have to fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. Noah, you're up.
Yeah, all I need to know about you is if you run a stop sign and then honk at the person who has the right of way. That's all I need to know about you.
Oh, yeah, no, I love that. When people are driving like idiots and then they're acting like you're the moron.
Right. My favorite is down a one-way street when they're coming at you. So you honk the horn to let them know and then they throw their hands up. Then you start pointing to the signs and stuff.
Gets me every time.
Anthony, that's all I need to know about you.
Yeah, if you hold the door for women, but then you shut the door in my face when I'm walking up, that's all I need to know about you.
So I remember, of course, it always be, you know, always open the door for a lady. And obviously, the rules have changed a bit here, Anna. I think of the guy that opens the door for the women that are walking up and closes it for the guy. I think that guy's a creep. I think that that guy is trying too hard to look like a nice guy, and he's actually a creep. That's what I think.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I never even pay attention. I never even pay attention to who opens the door and who closes it. I mean, there's nothing worse than the awkward feeling when the person is too far behind
you.
So you don't want to keep going, but then you're just standing there holding the door for like 40 seconds waiting for them to come.
Feels like forever.
Oh, sometimes we're walking in the building, like one of like the people walking in ahead of me, they'll pretend like they don't see me. And I don't even blame them. I'm not going to run.
If it's early or late, I'm more likely to do the quick step and run ahead so that I don't have to wait. If it's mid-afternoon, though, then I'm feeling generous. If the sun's out, then you've got a good chance at me holding the door for you.
Yeah. Olivia, that's all I need to know about you.
If you wear AirPods in your ears while driving in your car alone? That's all I need to know about you. That's all.
I've seen a few people do this, and I don't understand why.
Bluetooth. Most states, if it's not federal already, you got to have hands-free for your phone, right? So if you've got an older car, older radio, then you probably don't have Bluetooth. I mean, I have to be pretty old, but...
I've been wondering this myself because I keep seeing people, and I'm like, who are you talking... Like, there's nobody else in the car. Like, yeah. What are you doing? Are you just listening on your... It's so strange to me.
Or the radio's busted.
I mean, it goes hand-in-hand with, like, pandemic times, and I still see people that are by themselves in the car wearing a mask. Who are you protecting yourself from? The backseat ghost?
I don't understand those.
That's weird, right?
It is.
Adam, that's all I need to know about you.
If you are over 30... and you're driving with a rookie driver bumper sticker on the back of your car, that's all I need to know about you.
I mean, you're just drawing attention to yourself, but are you also warning people to stay away from you? It's kind of like the new driver stickers. It's the exact same thing, right?
Mm. I guess, but when you're 80, do you think that works still?
No, that seems strange. That's like a grandkid that's borrowing the car that's putting that on there, right? Grandma, I'm going to need your car for this test.
I like to think that that 80-year-old has no idea that that bumper sticker is there. Right. And their daughter stuck it on there because she has hit so many things while driving. She's like, I know what I'll do. I'll make everybody back away from this car by putting the sticker on the back.
It's really a PSA message.
Really?
What it is.
Right. What's the thing that drives you nuts? 1-800-330-9999. You just have to fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. You know, dogs are amazing. I know it seems like such a blanket statement, but I was just reading this article about how neighborhoods that have a lot of families with dogs have less crimes than neighborhoods that don't have dogs.
I mean, wouldn't that make sense to you? There's a lot more things to alert everybody in the neighborhood.
Yeah, and they say that because people walk their dogs regularly, that they're more apt to be able to see things that they wouldn't normally see that are happening in the neighborhood, which I believe. Remember that one time my husband was outside walking Lila and he saw the guy scoping out all the cars. He was going to break into all the cars that night.
Yeah. My dog, my 7-pounder, Baxter, he's crazy. There's no question about it. But like he notices when things are out of place. Mm-hmm. So it's not just like somebody walks in our yard or anything like that. I'm telling you, if a bird lands on the lawn, he's freaked out about it. If somebody has a bag of mulch on their lawn that wasn't there the day before, or if their car is parked in a different space, he stops when we're walking and stares at it for 30 seconds.
Yeah.
He's crazy. Yeah. He's totally crazy.
This past weekend, we were away, and we were at we have a condo. It was my mother-in-law's, and we kind of all inherited it now. And my dog had only been to this condo, which is 14 hours from my house, once ever before in its life, right?
Yeah.
Now, we parked the car. It was 3 o'clock in the morning after the road trip. We opened the door. She ran out. And she's high anxiety. She's a fearful dog. So she's a rescue. She ran across the parking lot. Mm-hmm. And I'm like screaming because I'm like, where is she going? Like, you know, she like jumped out so fast and it's in the middle of the night. She ran across the parking lot, up 3 flights of stairs to the front door. And positioned herself there. She had been there once before 2 years ago. She remembered exactly where to go. Like, it blew my mind. Like, yeah. I don't even think that I could remember with that much accuracy how to get to the front door of that condo like she did. It was insane.
Whether it's the smell or, you know, just the feeling of her being a high anxiety dog, of being safe in that space or whatever, for whatever reason, she remembers, you know.
Yeah.
And it's more than just your dog remembers when the treats happen and what time breakfast is, because everybody's dog does that. I mean, they're better than a sundial, but my dogs actually spell. That's the other thing is too, is because you can't say snack or treat or walk or anything like that, or grandma or anything like that, without them getting completely freaked out. So we started spelling things. Well, here's the thing. Now they know MB means milk bone. Now they know BONE means bone. They know that when Alexa's timer goes off, it's time for them to get their chew. Like, they know too much.
That's funny. Your dog might be smarter than my 3-year-old. Because I still say to my husband, I'm like, should we get ICECREAM? And she's just looking around.
She's got no idea.
What's going on?
She's got no idea.
We asked on our Facebook page last night at Anna and Raven, what did your dog do that amazed you? And Joy wrote, protected my son during his seizures. He'd apply pressure to his legs to keep him safe and licked his toes to comfort him. We actually knew he was coming out of a seizure by trying to stop the licks. Isn't that amazing?
They know before.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, service dogs do amazing things.
There's always those sparks, those moments when your dog does something and you're just like, oh my gosh, I can't believe my dog was smart enough to do that. Mm. I had one of those this past weekend. My dog, we went to a condo that we hadn't been to in years, and she had only been to once, my puppy, and it's 14 hours away from where I live. She jumped out of the car, ran across the parking lot, up three flights of stairs, right to that front door. She knew exactly where to go. It blew my mind.
Dogs are smart.
Yeah.
You know, my dog can tell you when it's 6:15. He can tell you when it's 5 o'clock. He can tell you when it's 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, because he gets treats at every one of those times.
What did your dog do that amazed you? 1-800-330-9999. Nancy.
So it's my roommate's dog. She has RSD, which is permanent progressive nerve damage in her legs. And when her legs are going to have a spasm, the dog lets her know. Like, she'll either go next to her legs and put her head on them, and she knows to sit down, or if she's doing something important, to stop.
It's amazing how a dog recognizes these things naturally, but then they're trained to let owners know when these things are coming. That's how it becomes really helpful.
Yeah, she knows before the owner does.
Hey, Greg, what's your dog do that amazes you?
Yeah, so our dog, my wife and I, he's got a condition called megaesophagus, which is a pretty rare condition, but he has to actually eat in a chair, and I thought it was going to be a long process to be able to train him, but he learned how to do it within a day, and now every time he's hungry, he'll sit in his chair, and he'll be ready to eat, close his little door, and, you know, he's very smart that way, when he's hungry, and what needs to be done.
My best friend Danielle, her dog Dallas, is a Doberman, and at one point she thought she had to get him a chair, which I thought was fake. Like, I didn't know that that was a real thing until you Google dog chairs. It's incredible. Wow. There's it looks like a high chair, but it's for a dog.
I know. It's really unbelievable. My wife actually brought him to the Kelly Ripa and Ryan show, and he was featured on it, and it was this whole thing. So I kept getting in there.
Wow. Dogs are amazing.
Nora, what's something that your dog does that's awesome?
So I've taught my dog to run away, randomly just run away when I give him a cue word to get me out of uncomfortable conversations when I'm out and about at the dog park.
Wait a minute.
Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of smart.
It's genius.
Yeah.
You have a code word? Or what do you say?
I do. It's little man. When I say little man, he just runs. I say, hey, little man. And he just keeps on going further and further. And I have to get out of the conversation. I'm so sorry. I got to go.
That's incredible. I've never even heard of that.
That's
before.
Brilliant. So what, I mean, so you meet him at the end of the dog park, and then he gets rewards. He gets love and affection when you're gone. You're like, good boy. Good boy.
Yeah.
When I took Lila Bear to training school, we learned we have a code word for her. She has to drop everything and come back, which is qua, which means like here in Italian. That's
okay.
the magic word. And whenever she hears that, she knows like you got to return, like you're in danger. I never once in a million years thought to train her on a word that would make her run away. How many times have you gone to the grocery store? You go to the self-checkout line and you're like, all right, I could do this. And then you hear that beep, beep, please place item in the bag. And you're like, it is in the bag. And then you take it out of the bag, then you drop it in and a beep, beep, please wait for assistance. And now you're throwing your hands up. You're looking all around. You're like, where is this person that's supposed to be monitoring this?
My big problem is like, I always want to bag the stuff after. Like, once it's in the bagging area, then I want to bag it at that point. Like, if I'm going shopping, and it's not even just the grocery store anymore. It's every store now at this point. When you go and you're with your wife, like, what else do I do when she's scanning the stuff? There's nothing for me to do. So then I want to bag the stuff. And then she's like eye roll, huffing, sighing, all that stuff. And right now the person's got to come over with the card. Very frustrating.
67% of people say they've experienced a failure at the self-checkout line and they can't stand using it, yet they still do. I'm one of those people. It's like one of those things where I just can't help myself. So we went around the office to ask people what they thought of the self-checkout line.
Hmm.
Do you use self-checkout at the grocery store?
I do sometimes, yeah.
How do you feel about it?
They need to give me a discount.
Why?
Because I'm an employee now of whatever grocery store I'm at.
So his dislike of it is based on laziness. Is that what's going on? Not actually the fact that the operation's not going well, just that he had to do something.
I mean, why? You have the option not to do it.
Right.
Right.
Do you use the self-checkout at the grocery store?
Only. That's the only thing I ever do. Yes.
Why?
Because I hate the grocery store, like anxiety, and I have no patience. And so I just get my little wand and I scan and I bag it as I go, and then I'm in and out, and it's like so easy. Never ever go through the line.
Well, you know, the funny part about that is I agree with her, is because I'm so impatient that I think that if I do it myself, it'll be faster. But the truth of the matter is that there's so many problems that it never really is faster.
When she was speaking, what I heard was, I hate people. That's what I heard. But you heard it differently, so that's all right.
Do you use the self-checkout at the grocery store?
Yes. I try to avoid it, but there's like no choices anymore. I don't like it. I'm old school. I like to just have my cart, put it on a conveyor belt, and pay.
Old school. That's considered old school at this point.
An interaction with another human being. When you go to most places now, there's like 18 self-checkout, you know, areas, and there's like one person. One person working.
Yep. And this is my nightmare. It's going to happen to me one day.
Do you use self-checkout at the grocery store?
Oh, all the time. And I hate it because I mess it up. I was at a local grocery store and I was doing self-checkout. And I don't know if I was going too fast or it was going too slow, but they thought I was stealing. And so I had to get the manager to, like, they were looking at the video to see where I was putting the product. Oh, yeah, the thing was saying, oh, put your item on the tray. Put your item on the tray, you know, when you're checking it out. And I did that, but it wasn't registering for some strange reason. Anyhow, they thought I was shoplifting, and I wasn't. But I still like it because I can get in and out.
It's happened to me where they come and they start taking the items out of the bag and then start looking at the list.
Yeah.
And I immediately get, like, offended. I'm like, you think I'm stealing?
I would be too.
Yeah, like what? Like you think I took two boxes of Rice Krispie treats? Like, get out of here with that thing.
It's big time offensive to me. I have been standing next to somebody at one, seen them stealing, and nobody's looking at them.
Not a single thing.
What is wrong here? Wow.
The first time you moved out, what happened? What was it like? What went down? One of my friends, her oldest, is getting ready to move out for the first time. He's going off to college. So, you know, he's all excited and packing already.
Sure.
Out. Yeah.
My room's going to be the coolest. Yeah. My spot will be the most awesome. It'll be so much better than it'll be here. Thanks, Mom.
Yeah. I get a text from my friend, and all it says is, guess what Kyle thinks he's bringing to school?
Uh-huh.
And then there's a picture, and it's their family toaster on his bedroom floor. He was going to bring their toaster.
Yeah.
Like, and she was like, what do you think you're doing? He's like, well, I'm going to need a toaster. And she's like, well, like, don't you think we should go buy one? What do you mean? He's going to take it off the kitchen counter?
Yeah. And I mean, a toaster in the middle of a carpeted floor, by the way, not a good idea either. So I hope he's not planning on setting it up that way. You know what I see that always makes me think to myself, wow, maybe it would be awesome to live in a studio apartment now or dorm or whatever, is that, you know, now they have like a thing that's like a radio and it's like a coffee maker and they're like a make an egg for you on top too.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy. Does that thing actually work? Because I love breakfast sandwiches.
Well, I mean, it's got to be like a multitasking thing. I feel like because so many dorm rooms are so small and studio apartments are so small that they've kind of figured out how to combine a lot of things.
Yeah.
I was thinking about when I moved to college, I mean, I packed my clothes, and then the only other thing I packed, and this is going to date me right now, is remember when Absolut was like the coolest vodka and they had all the pictures in the magazine of like different Absolut bottles?
Yeah.
I brought 40 of them to put all over my dorm door. So I just, my whole front dorm door was just all Absolut bottles of magazine cutouts.
So at 18, everybody just thought you were the alcoholic in the hall.
Right. Now that I look back on it, I'm like, what the heck was I thinking?
Bad choice.
So, I mean, dumb. How dumb.
Not a great choice.
And of course, my autographed Green Day poster of Billy Joe Armstrong.
Well, that one made a little bit more sense. My first apartment, I can remember, so not college, moved to Cali at the time, Los Angeles, with a friend. And I was supposed to be staying at him and his family's house, but his brother had gotten in trouble on my way driving out there. So his mom sent them to live with his father too. So I no longer had a bed anymore. So my friend went and signed a lease before I even had a job. Inflatable mattress, TV, VCR cart, Speed on VHS. Man, we must have watched that 1,000 times. And a footlocker, which was also the coffee table, the couch, and all those things.
Huh.
Yeah, it was not comfortable. We picked up a couch that we found on the side of the road, brought it home, thought it was a great idea. Then the roaches came out.
Yeah. Oh my God, that happened. So.
Yeah, well, you know what? Let me tell you something. You can get rid of the couch. You can get rid of the apartment. The roaches, they follow you.
It's true.
They do.
We went, my sister, the first time she moved out, her and two of her girlfriends, they rented an apartment on the Upper East Side in the city, in New York City. And I remember we moved it. And of course, it's a walk up because that's all you can afford when you're 22 years old. So walked up three flights of these stairs to get everything moved in. The bed bugs. They took 3 days to realize that there was bed bugs everywhere.
Oh, no.
They lasted 10 days. And then she moved home, not even to another apartment.
Oh, my gosh.
It was like she gave up.
And the city broke her. That was it. I'm never coming back here again.
You probably remember the first time you ever moved out on your own. Oh, the thrill, the rush, the things that go wrong along the way, right?
Yeah, and then the fact that bills actually show up 3 or 4 weeks into it. You're like, wait a minute. I paid the money. That part is over, right?
No, I'm going to do it again. Every month you got to do it.
Wow.
1-800-330-9999. What happened when you first moved out?
Yeah, so I'll never forget the feeling of like being on vacation. It was kind of like the same feeling as that.
Except then the bills show up,
right?
Like that first month freedom, right? The first couple weeks, you're like, oh my God, this is incredible.
Kind of like the same feeling you have when you wake up in like a hotel. You're like, oh, okay.
right.
Nice feeling.
And then you run out of food, right? Yeah. and then you have to vacuum, right?
Got to figure out who's going to clean the bathroom.
Oh.
Right, exactly.
Stephanie, what happened when you moved out?
Yeah, so when I first moved out, I moved into one of the rooms of a place I was working at. It was a home at a kennel. So I moved into one of the rooms, and at night I would hear the weirdest noises, and it sounded like someone walking up the stairs. So for the first 2 weeks, I would shut my door and put a chair at the door and sleep with a knife.
Good.
And it turned out they had a parrot that would make the noise of the stairs creaking. So I was so scared. And I would be like, oh, my gosh. I'm like, I should move out. I don't know what's going on. I had spoken to one of the owners. I said, it's the weirdest thing. And as I'm speaking to them, I hear the noise. I go, there it is. And we turn and their bird is making this squeaking noise of the stairs.
I mean, let's be honest. If you're sleeping in a kennel, you don't have a lot of options anyway. So I'm glad it worked out. So that's good.
Yeah, so that's my story.
Kelsey, what happened when you first moved out?
So when I first moved out into the real world, I could only afford to live in this mother-in-law suite, they call it,
mm-hmm.
where it's this huge room above a stranger's garage, but I had to split it with someone else. And so I lived in this mother-in-law suite for like a year and a half with this stranger who always would take in cats, like kittens. So it's just cats screaming all the time.
I mean,
I learned a lot.
About how to compromise, I guess.
I can't imagine having to live with, I mean, I guess that's not true, because when I moved to college, my dorm mate was a stranger.
You know what?
Mm-hmm.
Some of my best roommates were actually strangers. They were people that I did not know. My friends were the worst roommates, because friends take advantage. Like, they figure you're friends. So, sorry I didn't do the dishes. Sorry I'm late on the cable bill. But your first place, you don't want to go back, so it doesn't matter.
Steve, what happened when you first moved out?
Well, I got in this big fight with my parents, because I thought, well, I graduated. I should be able to be out anytime I want. And they said, no, you got to be home by 11 still. You still live in our house. And I said, well, it's not okay with me. So I walked right on out, left my cell phone, left my car, walked to my best friend's about 3 miles away, and ended up staying there for the entire summer right before college. You know, I would have thought it would have been different, but it was an interesting time, I'll tell you that.
Listen, going and camping out on your buddy's couch, all right, while his parents are nice enough to feed you for 3 months is not the same thing as going out and getting your own place in
the
world.
You're right. You're right.
He's like, I left my cell phone. Wow. Big boy. Yeah. You mean you don't have to pay my car insurance or my cell phone bill? Yep. You're showing me all right.
I lived in this shirt and this one pair of shorts for the entire summer.
I don't know if that counts as the first time you moved out. Usually when you hear about these dumb new TikTok trends, it's kids doing them, not adults. And usually not parents, but this new TikTok trend is all about parents asking their kids to help them fight and then getting their reaction. And part of me feels like it's wrong, right?
Right. Yeah. All of this feels a little bit wrong, but for some reason, because it's amusing for 45 seconds on a TikTok segment, America's okay with it this time.
Hashtag fight prank. You just randomly say to your kid, we got to go outside, we got to fight this person, and then you get their reaction on what they say. Here's a couple of them.
Well, put your shoes on now.
Why?
Because I'm going to go fight this girl, and if her son comes out, I need you to fight him.
Okay.
I mean, she's like, all right. Okay. Yeah.
I mean, what else are you going to say? That's your mother. She feeds you and everything.
There's this girl I have to go fight, and if her daughter tries to jump in, I need you to fight it. Help me fight her, too. Come get your shoes on.
I don't know how to fight yet.
Aww. I don't know how to fight yet. Oh, that's terrible.
You're going to learn.
So I thought we'd call my 13-year-old daughter, Hayden, and see how she would react, what she would do. Hayden, I've been having a problem with this lady at work, and we're going to fight. Will you come outside? Like, well, I'll come pick you up, and we're going to come back to the studio. And then later on this afternoon, we're going to fight her outside. Are you cool with that?
Okay.
You'd just be okay with it?
Yeah.
Really?
I mean, you provide the Christmas gifts. You provide the food, the electricity, all that stuff. Seems like a pretty good deal.
But you've never been in a fight before. Do you even know what to do?
Dad taught me how to punch.
Oh.
What's Dad's gym like, huh? I imagine that, like a heavy bag in the garage, right?
Oh, no. No, no, remember.
No, it was in the kitchen.
Yeah.
What?
We have full weights. Paul bought a whole thing of weights, side note, in our family room. It's where it lives now. Our family room is now a gym with a Peloton, mats, and a full rack of weights.
All right. Yeah. Nice.
Hayden, if I asked you for real to fight somebody, do you know this is a TikTok trend? Is that why you agreed so quickly?
Yeah.
Yeah, I knew it.
She knew, it 3 days ago.
Yeah, right. She was like, Mom, this happened last month. You're so behind the scenes on this.
You're dumb, Mom.
Yeah. But if I was in a real fight, what would you do?
I don't know. Probably record it.
Oh.
Post it on my story
gosh.
Or something.
She posted on her story for likes.
That's terrible.
I'd make her clout bigger online.
No,
thank you.
I would post it on Snapchat so it wouldn't be liked. It would just be viewed.
Oh, all right. Well, that's good. All right. Well, Mommy's never going to fight anybody. And if I ever do, I want you to stay away and keep yourself safe. Understood?
Okay.
All right. Why is it trending? It's the top news stories trending. And why? Today, all about Vesuvius. Vesuvius. Now, is it because Americans are vacationing in Italy and having the best time of their lives and checking out Mount Vesuvius? I mean, kind of. They were tourists
probably
there. Yeah. This is what happened.
An attempt to take a dramatic selfie at the top of Italy's Mount Vesuvius last weekend sent a tourist from Baltimore, Maryland, sliding into the volcano's crater. Well, the man's phone fell out of his hand, and when he tried to get it, he ended up slipping several yards in. Officials say he was lucky he didn't plunge into the abyss and escaped only with cuts and bruises.
I read more into this story.
Yeah.
And it's so much dumber than that.
Oh, good.
So.
Count on America.
Yep, yep.
What happened?
They went through an access way that public people are not supposed to go.
Oh, okay.
So they snuck up a certain way to get to the top of Mount Vesuvius. And then when they got to the top, it was this guy and a couple other people. They were taking selfies. He dropped the phone into the top of Mount Vesuvius and made the conscious decision to go in after it, right?
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing that I found incredibly entertaining.
Yeah.
The president of Mount Vesuvius, because I guess there's a president that's in charge of it.
That seems strange, but okay.
Saw the whole thing happen, because I guess they just stand at the top.
They just wait.
They wait
for the thing to erupt again.
All right.
He's just keeping an eye on it.
Report back.
Essentially, if you're the president of this thing, it just means that you're in charge.
Yep. And so he called for backup, and he called for like the helicopters to come and the police to come and everybody to come to help him out. They had to use a whole rope to get this guy out.
Oh, my gosh.
He was very lucky that he was completely fine. And then they arrested him. Good.
Good.
Right?
Right. I mean, you have to make an example of something like that. Listen, if you're touring an area where there's lava, right, where it's an active volcano, and I know it hasn't had an eruption in a long time, not something large. But, I mean, if you're walking around an area where there was, you know, lava underneath the ground or whatever, you should probably just stay within the roped areas. You know, it's like the same thing when you're at Yellowstone and people are like, I want to get so close to the geysers. Well, you know, that's why people get burned. That's why you don't go hanging out with bison, right? I mean, you're just going to learn a lesson the wrong way.
Got to take a selfie with me in this lava.
Right.
And then drop the phone and then go after it. And I started thinking about it. I'm like, you know, there's nothing worse than when you drop your phone because you got
to
go get it. But
you
sometimes
want to.
It's difficult situations on where there is. So, Raven, here's some places you can drop your phone.
Okay.
And you tell me, do you risk it to go after it?
Or do I just let the phone go? Is that what you're telling me?
Yes.
Okay, I'm ready to go.
One, volcano.
Volcano. Probably going to let it go.
Right.
I'm going to let it go.
Smart.
Or is that, do I get a right answer or a wrong answer for that?
I don't know, whatever.
Well, either way, yeah. I'm going to let it go.
Porta potty.
Oh, I'm definitely letting it go.
You're going to let the phone go in the porta potty?
Listen, there is no No, just go back to work and buy another phone. Like, that's what the cloud is for. Do yourself a favor. You're going to lose some numbers. That's true, but you're going to keep a whole lot more dignity.
Off a boat into a pond.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I mean, listen, if I can see it going down or I think that the screen's lit or whatever, yeah, I will definitely go after it in the pond.
Okay. Pile of horse manure.
Horse manure.
Sticking right in the top. Sticking right out.
Washes
off. Half out.
Washes off. I'll do it. Been watching a lot of cowboy shows lately.
Really?
Yeah, what?
I don't know if you get a ding
for
that.
You think that porta potty is going to be better than the horse manure? Horse manure is easier.
Your mother's underwear drawer.
Ma, what are you doing with my phone?
Yep, yep.
I'm going to need it back, though, Ma. No, yep.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
It's Siblings Week on the Couples Court. Every day a brother and a sister come on, they let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you decide who's right. Now, we've got this 50th wedding anniversary issue going on. Jay, what's happening with your parents?
All right, my parents' 50th wedding anniversary is coming up, and me and my sister wanted to throw a party. And, you know, my sister doesn't really want to put any money into it, and I'm spending the money, and I want the input. I want to be able to give input. Why would the person who's not paying for anything be able to put in?
Catherine, is that true? You're not helping pay for the party?
Well, that is true, but, you know, I just can't. I don't have the money that he has, you know, and I feel like my contribution is I've got great ideas. You know, I'm a great party planner. You know, I've thrown, like, amazing social gatherings for our family that I've been the, you know, main planner of before. I don't know why he would, like, be opposed to that. What's the big deal?
Well, because you're spending his money.
That's the thing. She's been in the past, she's been the main planner. But I've been paying for all those things where she's the main planner, and I don't want that to happen again.
I'm not saying you can't have input. It's just, you know, I happen to have some great ideas, and I can put things together well. Thank you for the money. I mean, excuse me for not having as much money as you do, but...
Catherine, give us some examples. Like, what's really the difference of opinion about?
Yeah, so, like, he wants to have it in a tent in his backyard, and I don't think that's gonna, you know, I don't think that's the best idea. I think we should have it in a nice restaurant.
Well, no, I get to control the situation. If I have a tent in my backyard, I can control the food more. I don't want to do it at a restaurant, and a restaurant can get crazy, especially if you start paying for drinks for everybody. You give everyone an open bar, and then it's an open tab.
That's the thing to me is that you can control the booze at your house. Mm-hmm. That's the big one.
Right.
Food is one thing. Like, you can negotiate with a restaurant before you go, and you can come up with a plan that works pretty good. But booze is another thing altogether. And you can give it, like,
a family of drinkers.
Yeah, you know, you can say, like, you know, hey, there's a tab that's, you know, started at the bar or whatever, but they run that up quick. That's a lesson I've learned.
Yeah, I just wonder, and this is really the question here, is does Catherine get a say if she's not paying for anything? And I understand what you're saying, Catherine, is that if one sibling does well and the other can't financially do the same things that one can, do they still get a say? Maybe. Maybe yes, maybe no.
I mean, sounds like you've had that say before. Maybe this time it's just not going to fly as much. I'm not sure.
It's like running a company and you're the boss. But your underlings are going to make every decision, and you have no input.
Okay, you just called me an underling.
That's not right either.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not the kindest word. I've said worse.
What we do is we see what the audience has to say, and they may agree with you, Jade. Catherine, if you're not footing the bill, then I don't think you get to make the big decisions on where it's going to be. If you do want to pay for half, then yes, it can be revisited, and you can make the decisions then. But they may see your side too, Catherine, where, Jade, it's a 50th anniversary party for your parents. Just, if you're the one that predominantly makes all the money, it's not going to really overextend you, then just do the best you can and work with your sister to throw your parents a great party.
Let's find out. It's Siblings Week. Couples Court, 1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on?
Siblings Week on the Couples Court. All brothers and sisters that are having issues. And today it's Catherine and Jay. They are planning a surprise 50th anniversary party for their parents. Now, here's the thing. Catherine wants to have it at a hall, at a restaurant. And Jay wants to have it at his house in the backyard with a tent because... Jay is paying for it. Catherine doesn't have the money to chip in for it.
Yeah, Catherine's answer to that is, listen, I'm a party planner. I do a great job with this stuff. I have thrown great get-togethers for everybody in our family before. And Jay's answer is, yes, and every time I've been the one paying for it, and this time I've got to make some of the decisions here. He thinks that a tent in the backyard, some catering or whatever, he can control those costs. It makes better sense for them. But she says, no, it's got to be my way.
What do you think? She just thinks it'll be classier in a restaurant. What do you think about the whole thing? 1-800-330-9999. Santa and Raven.
I'm on his side. If she wants to maybe agree to pay for part of the liquor bill, I'm sure she could change it June. I've had events where I've negotiated with the restaurant. I knew what the food bill was going to be, and the liquor bill completely blew the budget.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. Yep. I just went through this with my wife's 40th. Yes, I get it.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Siblings Week on Couples Court. It's Siblings Week on Couples Court. All brothers and sisters all week long. And Catherine and Jay are brother and sister, and they're planning a 50th anniversary party for their parents, a surprise. Now, here's the thing. Catherine thinks it'd be classier and more beautiful if they threw it at a hall, at a restaurant. But Jay's like, no, I have to pay for it, so we're having it in the backyard.
Yeah, I mean, he's been paying for these parties, it sounds like, over the years. One thing that's for certain, they're not very nice to each other when they have these discussions, right? There's bickering that sometimes you see between siblings, and maybe that, you know, sways your choice one way or the other. Simple fact is, whoever's paying is going to figure out where they figure it's best served to spend that money, right? I mean, you would think so anyways. Catherine says no, because I throw great parties.
What do you think about this? 1-800-330-9999. Debbie, what do you think?
I'm on the brother's side. I think it could be a lovely event in his backyard. And, I mean, she should have a little bit of input into it. And I think it sounds like there's a little sibling jealousy there that she doesn't have the money like he does. But I think it would be a lovely event in a tent in his yard. I think it's a beautiful thing. And I think she should just kind of go along with it.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're not making the financial decisions, and one of the biggest expenditures is going to be whether or not you get a hall or a restaurant versus catering at your house or whatever, seems to me like he would have more input on that.
Right, but she's right. She's jealous that she doesn't have the financial ability to do that, but it doesn't make it right.
Yeah, it doesn't make it right that he's not nice to her either.
100%. Kira, whose side are you on today?
I'm on the brother's side. If he's footing the bill and he's paying for everything, if she's a great planner, she'll make a great party in the backyard.
Right. Work with what you've got. I mean, that's the number one thing. If you're any sort of event manager or whatever, what do? You go in, you assess, and then say, what is available to me? What can I get my hands on? How do I enhance that? You're exactly right.
Hey, Ashley, whose side are you on?
So I'm kind of in the middle of both. I have three. I'm one of three, and we all kind of contribute whatever we can. We all make different amounts of money, you know. I think if she can't contribute anything, he should be able to obviously pick the venue, because that's the most expensive part, and she can just help with planning those, you know, the events for the day, and, you know, help with the food or something.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Jay, our audience agreed with you. Catherine can't make all the decisions if you're not helping pay the bill.
Okay. I mean, I don't, you know, I'll do it, but I'm not happy about it. I feel like, you know, I should have equal say.
Well, I mean, as an equal contributor, you would. I mean, you can take that into account the next time that you're planning a party. And I'm not saying that to be hurtful. I'm just saying that sooner or later, the person who gets to pay is going to make some decisions. If it's been going on split before, or you've been kind of leading the way, you have to expect that sooner or later he's going to want some input. So while I don't agree with the tactics and the language that you guys are using with each other, on the other hand, I see how the votes could go his way.
If you have a problem with a brother or sister, it's Sibling Week on the Couples Court. Submit it at annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is $100 thanks to Discover Card. We could talk about how complicated other banks make it to redeem credit card rewards, or we could talk about how Discover, you can redeem rewards for cash in any amount at any time. I mean, talk about amazing. Learn more at discover.com/redeem rewards. Terms apply. Linda, you ready to play?
Hi.
Hi. Yes. Okay, can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, please leave the room.
Sure, good luck.
Okay. We got $100 on the line. Raven's walking out of here. When that door closes, you can't hear us. This studio is soundproof. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring them back in, ask them the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready to play?
All right.
Number one, Hulu has renewed Only Murders in the Building for a third season. What pop star plays the role of Mabel Mora?
Selena Gomez.
Number two, a trailer for the vampire hunting movie featuring Jamie Foxx and Snoop Dogg called Day Shift was released. According to myth, you must drive a stake through what organ of a vampire to vanquish it?
Their heart.
Number three, Apple's Ted Lasso and HBO's The White Lotus are tied for second with 20 Emmy nominations each. But leading the pack with the most Emmy nominations, 25, is the HBO drama about the Roy family that own a media conglomerate. What is that show called?
I don't know.
Number four, Dwayne The Rock Johnson will be the first ever master of ceremonies for Shark Week. On what network is Shark Week?
Discovery Channel?
Number five, Bradley Cooper is dating disgraced former Congressman Anthony Weiner's ex-wife, Huma Abedin. Huma was a political aide to what former presidential candidate?
Obama.
All right, let me bring Raven back in.
Yo.
Okay, so Lauren got 3 out of 5.
Let's see how I do. $100.
Number one, Hulu has renewed Only Murders in the Building for a third season. Mm. What pop star plays the role of Mabel Mora?
Selena Gomez. I hear it's a good show.
Yeah, she didn't get an Emmy nomination, and both Martin Short and Steve Martin got it. She felt kind of left out, and I don't blame her.
Well, there's been a lot of people snubbed.
Number two, a trailer for the vampire hunting movie featuring Jamie Foxx and Snoop Dogg called Day Shift was released. According to myth, you must drive a stake through what organ of a vampire to vanquish it?
It's got to go through the heart.
Right. Number three, Apple's Ted Lasso and HBO's The White Lotus are tied for second with 20 Emmy nominations each. But leading the pack with the most Emmy nominations, 25, is the HBO drama about the Roy family that own a media conglomerate. What's it called?
That's Succession. And it's a great show. But yes. What's up with Yellowstone? Not one?
Number four, Dwayne The Rock Johnson will be the first ever master of ceremonies for Shark Week. On what network is Shark Week?
Discovery.
Yes. And number five, Bradley Cooper is dating disgraced former Congressman Anthony Weiner's ex-wife, Huma Abedin. Huma was a political aide for what former presidential candidate?
She worked for Hillary Clinton.
She did.
It's Linda, and I can't beat Raven.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, girl. $200 tomorrow, Anna.